Welcome to Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. My name is Luke and I'm joined today with Andrew and Taylor, and we're going to talk about some NBA basketball, specifically some free agency. Hopefully nothing happens crazy today that makes this immediately worthless, but who knows? It's been crazy.
I mean, it could happen.
Can I suggest something for this podcast?
Yeah.
Since it's a free agent podcast, Luke, can we end the podcast talking about the end of real world free agents?
Oh, yes, we can. I would like...
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we can.
Andrew, we just need 2 minutes on this.
I'm going to time you.
Okay, at the end. We'll do it at the end.
You'll definitely be timed. Okay, we have some Twitter questions.
Are we going to hop right to them? Let's hop right to them.
Let's just do it. It'll help facilitate the convo. Okay, this one is from our man D_Tally. He says, what is the backup plan if OKC strikes out with Miller, Morrow, and Gasol?
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
Oh, man.
I honestly feel like that's pretty likely at this point. We'll touch on some of this stuff later. I still think they do have a shot at Pau Gasol. I do. But if Mike Miller's going to get paid $4.5 million, the Thunder aren't going to sign him.
Yeah, that's true.
You can say that you can kiss him goodbye, because he's not, like, this is not going to happen. They're not going to give their full mid-level exception to Mike Miller.
Yeah. But is that, he's good. He had, like, one of his best seasons last year, so
he is good, and he played all 82 games last year, but I just worry that was an outlier more than anything.
Yeah.
That he was able to play that much. And,
yeah,
you know, if his back goes out again, and then you're paying $4.5 million to a guy who probably doesn't start, who's coming off the bench and is playing, I don't really know how many minutes. He's probably taking Derek Fisher's spot. And in the regular season, Derek Fisher played anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes a game. And I just don't know that you can pay a guy $4.5 million who plays, you know, only, you know, 15 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Because I don't really see where the minutes would come from. Unless they decide to start him and they play him as shooting guard, I don't know. I don't think that happens.
I don't think they would. I guess I don't know. I don't think they would.
I don't think they would either.
Okay, this is what I think about Mike Miller. When I saw that he was about to sign with the Nuggets, it was a what the hell moment for me. Let me redo the Nuggets backcourt right now. These are all players that will be on the Nuggets roster, all of them probably deserving of minutes, okay? Ty Lawson, Nate Robinson, Randy Foy, Aaron Aflalo, Gary Harris, Mike Miller, Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari. What are they doing?
They love to have just all right, okay players.
What are they doing?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
I don't get it at all. I don't understand why players are wanting to sign there, too. Like, why would Mike Miller choose to go there if OKC really was interested in him? Which makes me think, was OKC actually that interested in him? You know?
It's money. If they're going to give him $4.5 million, he will go to Denver.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve $4.5 million. I mean, he was good last season. He played every game. And he was great, but his track record is not good, you know, beyond that. If you kind of take last year out, he's a guy who's injury prone and isn't able to play that much. I mean, I thought he was done in Miami, you know, after they amnestied him. I thought, man, this guy might be done. He might just go home and collect his check.
I did too.
But he was great last year. I mean, I give him credit, but I just don't know how long that can continue. And he wants a multi-year deal, and if it's at $4.5 million a year, that's just way too much.
Yeah.
It's way too much, and this seems to be a trend right now in this offseason, which worries me for the next potential lockout. all these wings are getting just overpaid crazily.
Yeah.
You know, Gordon Hayward just signed for over 16 a year.
It's insane.
Which Gordon Hayward signed for over 16 and a half. It's about 16 and a half per year. Jody Meeks got what? What's he getting? $6 million a year?
Yeah.
It's insane. So all these wings are getting paid really weirdly. I don't understand it. So that makes me think, even if we sign Anthony Morrow, we're going to pay him too much, and that does not seem like a Thunder thing to do, you know?
Are they even going to... I mean, Anthony Morrow, like, everyone talks about this guy, like, he's awesome, and he shoots the ball really well. He's over 40% for his career. Great three-point right. shooter. But is he going to... Like, is he our starting shooting guard?
No, he can't... He's not that good.
No, he's not. So, he doesn't start for the Thunder, I don't think.
I agree. I don't think so either. I think essentially he's a Daquan Cook type role player. So it's almost like, you know, like Darnell talks about it, like, do you want Powell or do you want Anthony Morrow? Well, obviously I want Powell. Like, if Anthony Morrow is going to be,
And he's said, and that's what he's asking that, but he knows that the answer is Powell.
Yeah.
Like right.
He knows that. But there are people that want Anthony Morrow over Pau Gasol, in which case I'm just like, what?
Like Scott Brooks is not going to play him enough for it to even make a big difference spacing-wise, you know?
I don't think so either. I think that they're going to – I think they would honestly, if they just added Morrow, that Roberson might play more, which is
yeah.
– I don't know. He always has wanted a defender on the wing. And that's why a guy like Aaron Aflalo is so appealing, because he can do both.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in Anthony Morrow, he's only going to do that one thing. He's a specialist. He's a three-point specialist. The Thunder don't play just three-point specialists. I mean, we've had Cook before, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's different this time around. Maybe Brooks sees it differently, but I really doubt it.
This is kind of how I see it, too, is like either way, if we get Powell or Morrow, this is just saying that, you know, Powell and Morrow, one of them is going to happen. I mean, we're having this discussion based on that. Right. So either way, the two guard, who's going to start at two for us? Andre Roberson or Husis or one of these players that doesn't provide much offensively. So if that's the case, would you rather have Morrow or Powell?
Or, like or Jeremy Lamb.
Or Jeremy Lamb, yeah.
That's a possibility. I mean, if he develops as a defender, which he said that's what he was going to work on, I think that he could be the starting shooting guard. And people are really, really down on him right now because he had a – His summer mm-hmm. league wasn't so good. He's not shooting the ball real well.
Andrew, it was whack. Whack attack. Quack, quack. Ducky goes whack.
Tell me what you thought about his summer league. Talk about that for a minute.
Jeremy Lamb's summer league?
Yes.
This is all I could think about was Reggie Jackson last year. So Jeremy Lamb's coming into his third year, right? Reggie Jackson had a bad first game. I mean, yeah, his third year in the NBA.
It's really more like his second year.
Why?
Because
Reggie didn't play much his first year either.
He played way more because Eric Maynard got hurt.
Okay, that's true. So a little, but I mean, not this much. So anyway, going into your third year, if you're developing in the NBA, you should probably be too good for the summer league. You know, you look at a guy like KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. This is his second year. Going into his second year is obviously too good for summer league. He got a lot more minutes. He started at two guard for the Detroit. It's a different situation, but I mean, Jeremy Lamb, for what he was supposed to be coming out of college, he should be better than this in the summer league. It is summer league, I know, but that's what I think. He was disappointing to me.
Yeah, and it's tough because he's not going to be in that role for the Thunder ever, you know, like that's not his role to facilitate and to, you know, handle the ball and to shoot it 16, 17 times a game. He struggled toward the end of the season. That's why he lost minutes, but we kind of have to think about the role that he was in before. And when he was really thriving, dude, where are you?
Are you
me?
Yeah.
I'm outside and our apartments are like, my apartment building is between two very popular bars. So there's a lot of people walking
all
the time.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow, Mr. Popular.
I mean, I'm not popular. I'm between two popular places.
Okay, so let's move on to... Oh, we didn't even really answer the question. So where did the Thunder go if they miss out on Mike Miller, Gasol, and Morrow?
I haven't heard anything about what we're doing if not. If we did miss out on all of them. I have no idea.
Yeah, the Thunder aren't going to leak anything at all. Yeah. I think a guy like Sean Marion is still available, who would probably sign for the mid-level exception. Trevor Ariza is still available, but he's going to get way, way overpaid.
Yeah, by the looks of how everyone else is getting overpaid, he's definitely going to get overpaid.
Yeah. Vince Carter is still available, but is probably going back to the Mavs. But he's a guy who they might look at. Jameer Nelson, who's a guy who's cut from the Orlando Magic, is available and would probably take a low salary to come to a team like the Thunder. But the Thunder signed Sebastian Telfair? Like, that was a thing that happened?
Yeah.
He's just like Ryan Gomes. Like, he's just like this guy who's taking this non-guaranteed deal basically so the Thunder can waive him in the middle of the season if they find somebody else or use him as a trade chip. But I don't see him playing, and I don't understand that move at all. He was in China last year, and he had a million chances to make it in the NBA, and he just couldn't.
Did he not play for the Suns last year?
Not last year. I thought it was the year before.
Oh, was it the year before? Okay.
But he's a guy who's been given lots of chances. Maybe he makes it. I mean, maybe he does play. I just doubt it, which is weird. So that's why I kind of doubt the Jameer Nelson thing, because we have our third point guard, maybe. Ray Allen, people, Adam, what's his Twitter handle? Is LL Adam J7 asks, if LeBron goes to the Cavs, would that open the door for Ray Allen to come to Oklahoma City? So Ray Allen's a free agent. I think that... You know, the Cavs have a spot open for LeBron plus another player. And it could be Ray Allen that goes to the Cavs if he does sign there. Or it could be Mike Miller who goes to the Cavs. I kind of think it does open up a spot for Ray Allen to come. It kind of makes sense then, because he's not going to go back to the Heat. He's not going to go to, back to the Celtics. And he's not going to go to the Cavs if they've already filled that spot with Mike Miller. So then what does Ray Allen do?
Mike Miller is going to go play for the Nuggets.
It's not official.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What I said earlier then was I was confusing. I thought Mike Miller had agreed to terms with the Nuggets.
I just imagine you sitting on a street corner right now.
I mean, basically, dude, for real, I pretty much am. I'm sorry. this is the best I got. I mean, I'm downtown Wellington outside right now.
That's awesome.
So pretty much I am.
Yeah, but I think that it does open up a spot. Mike Miller hasn't signed anything with the Nuggets. I think he's just talked to him, and that his camp is leaning toward signing with the Nuggets. Mm. So, I mean, it kind of does open up a spot for the Thunder, and Ray Allen's not going to go play for just anybody. He's going to go play for a contender.
Right.
The Spurs have enough wings that can shoot, and I mean, really, who else would it be? Maybe the Clippers, because of the Doc Rivers connection. But yeah, they have lots of shooters too.
How do they just keep signing everyone? I don't understand how the Thunder has so much trouble signing people, and all these other teams are just signing everyone. Now, I know, if we're going to get technical, I know it can be explained to me, but but it's just, as a fan, that's my initial thought.
The Clippers just used their tools they can use to sign guys just right away.
Yeah.
And they knew that they wanted a big that could shoot, and they went and got Spencer Hawes, and who else did they sign?
Who they signed with Spencer Hawes? Oh, Jordan Farmar.
Oh, yeah, Farmar. I mean, those go, those are two guys that can be had. I mean,
yeah,
right.
So, I mean, Farmar. I think Farmar's going to be good, but I don't think that's that significant. But yeah, it's a good question. I think it does kind of open up a spot for Ray Allen to maybe join the Thunder. I don't know if he's one of those guys that's like, oh, I'll never play for the Thunder because I played for the Sonics forever, and I don't want to play for that kind of, don't want to play for that franchise. I have no idea if he's like that, because I think that there are players like that, but I think it does open up, and I would rather have Ray Allen than Anthony Morrow than Mike Miller. I mean, it would be awesome.
So let me throw out some names. I went through some other free agents that no one is talking about, right? And these are kind of like, okay, Powell falls through, Rayon falls through, Morrow falls through. So we're kind of left with the end of the barrel, right? So here's what's left. Top three. Number one, obviously, of course, Marshawn Brooks. That's a no-brainer, Sam Presti. If Marshawn Brooks hasn't been snatched up for 13 a year, you go get him. Next, Swaggy P.
You'll be bringing free Marshawn signs to the Chesapeake Arena.
Oh, my gosh. If Sam Presti can get him for, like, I don't know, 8-9 a year, that's a freaking deal. That's your starting, I would say, move over Russell and start a Chris Palmer style. Let's play Marshawn Brooks, ball handler, and move rest of the two. No, but Mario Chalmers, I want to know what you think about him. There's a possibility he could be out as a free agent.
I just think it depends on the money, but I like Mario Chalmers. I think he was awful in the finals. I mean, it was spotlighted that he was terrible in the finals.
Right,
But I think that so he is a good player.
Backup point guard for the Thunder. What do you think of him?
I love it.
I love it, too.
But Reggie Jackson is the backup point guard.
Okay, this is also saying, I think Reggie Jackson should start at two if we don't fill that two spot, too. But next year. But yeah, I don't think Sebastian Telfair. I hope Sebastian Telfair is in our backup if Reggie starts at two. So
you shouldn't be.
Should not be. So Mario Chalmers. And then there's, like, really no one left. There's, like, Jimmer, Troy Daniels, Xavier Henry,
Richard Jefferson. Mo Williams is still out there.
Mo Williams, James Jones.
What about this, that there's still a possibility, and they're still talking about it whenever an Oklahoma City rumor leaks, is that Caron Butler is still out there to be signed and could be brought back?
Like, if only in spite of Jay Smith, I would say let's sign him.
He was good in the regular season. He had a bad playoffs. He did.
Yeah.
But you know, he could be better.
Could he? I don't know. That doesn't fill me with any, like, that doesn't inspire me. However, now that I've just said that, that's probably what we will do.
I think there's a good chance. I think there's a good chance of it. But we just want new guys. Is the thing. Like, we want a new guy to come in. Like, we want Anthony Morrow because he's going to be so awesome. But he may not be that good. Like, defensively, he's not very good. But he shoots the ball, and we want that. But we think you have to have both.
Yeah.
Mike Scott, but he's a restricted free agent.
And he's also kind of a guy who's like Perry Jones, you know? Like, we kind of have a Mike Scott.
Yeah.
If Perry Jones is developing. So I don't know if that's, I don't know where he plays. But yes, Mike Scott is someone I looked at too.
What about Luke's man, Al-Farouq Aminu?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Dude, if we don't get enough rebounds or we don't have enough defense, that's our man. Oh, but wait, we're like one of the best rebounding teams. Luke, I'm sorry, I'm just offending you right now.
It's okay.
Basically, I hate Al-Farouq. I absolutely hate him.
Can't shoot. What about Xavier? Bring Xavier home.
I kind of like it. I don't mind that, actually. As a bench guy, he can be your small forward off the bench if you're not satisfied with PJ3. I don't know. I like it.
What if he started at the two? What did he shoot from three last year?
Not terrible. I know that. Hold on. I'll look it up.
I think it's interesting. Xavier Henry. I mean, he got hurt, but he's a guy who's super talented. He was a lottery pick. Which really means nothing now, but he had a good stretch with the Lakers last year, and it could be he is a good fit for D'Antoni, and maybe he's not a fit for the Thunder at all. But it's just interesting because he grew up here in Oklahoma City. But I think he would be a decent option, honestly, if we strike out on all these guys.
So he shot 35% from three last year, 41% overall. So not as good as I thought.
Not great. Better than Tavo. And,
yes, but and not a good free throw shooter.
What's his free throw percentage?
Like 60, in the 60 percentile.
Oh, woof. Just erase everything I just said about Xavier Henry then. Stay away, Xavier. Wes Johnson. You guys want Wes Johnson? There's not great options. Honestly, I think that if they strike out, that nothing big is going to happen for this team. I think they might bring back Caron Butler and then just roll out the team that they have.
And, you know, maybe, like, how far away were we really from being in the finals and beating this Heat team?
Not far.
If this Spurs team wasn't there, we win the championship. Like, we were better than this Heat team this year.
I agree with that. And a lot of people are, you know, using a narrative saying that the Thunder would have lost to the Heat, but I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
But, I mean, just a healthy Serge Ibaka. And you know what? Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka are still developing players. Like, they're still getting better. And
it's crazy.
Reggie Jackson will come back better. Jeremy Lamb is you know, hopefully going to come back better, but he's going to get a shot again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of all this stuff kind of depends on Jeremy Lamb and what he can do. And the Thunder, whether they can, you know, maybe they have to use a trade to go get somebody to go get a two guard. And that's one thing. I mean, you know, free agency is one thing, but we can still trade players. And the Thunder have just today until midnight tonight to use their trade exception from the Kevin Martin deal.
Okay, what does that mean? I don't really know what the trade I hear people say that. I don't know what that means.
So we trade. What happened when Kevin Martin, he wanted to go sign with the Timberwolves last season.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting him sign there, the Thunder signed and traded him to the Timberwolves for nothing, basically. So they signed and traded him so that the Thunder, instead of just having him walk and the Thunder having nothing, they get a trade exception for the amount that he signed for. So he signed for $6.7 million. So the Thunder have this trade exception for $6.7 million and expires on the day of the trade.
Okay.
And so basically they can trade for any player that makes $6.7 million or lower without kind of outside of the cap rules.
Okay.
So the Thunder don't really have that $6.7 million to spend because they're over the cap. But they can do it because they have this trade exception. So they could go trade for Iman Shumpert right now and absorb his contract into the trade exception. It's just another tool that they can use to be a little... So that Presti has ways to make moves because otherwise he wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're trying to do that with Tabo Sefolosha right now because Tabo hasn't signed with the Hawks, and I think that they're trying to do a sign and trade with them too, just so that the Thunder can get a trade exception.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I knew this, but Kevin Martin is playing for under $7 million a year right now?
Yes.
That is insane given the amounts of money being given to wings right now. Like, if Kevin Martin was on the market for $7 million this free agency, He'd be one of the top five hot commodities.
Yeah, but you saw him play defense.
Yes, but Anthony Morrow is one of our top signings.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, I'll be shocked if he gets more than $3 million.
I bet if he goes to another team, I'm gonna say it right now. $4.5 million a year.
If he gets $4.5 million a year, they are crazy.
Everyone else is being crazy this year. That's why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's.
It's gonna happen.
I think Jody Meeks is way better than Anthony Morrow.
I think he is too.
Like way better, and I know that. I mean, it's not a good contract. But Jeff Van Gundy talked about this, that you kind of have to take that these bad teams that have been bad for a long time. There's a tax on those teams, and you have to pay more to get guys to come there.
Yeah,
especially good character guys. So they kind of have this bad team and good character tax they have to pay to get guys to come, which was kind of interesting.
That's true. I mean, that is, he's right.
Yeah. I love Jeff Van Gundy. Next question from the Jake Snake. What role do you think Pau has if he comes here? Is he immediate starter? Is he a six man? Just because he is, he need to keep his minutes down, and he's a recent, his recent injury history. Oh man. Okay. So let's go down this rabbit hole a little bit.
I don't think he comes here for a six man role. I don't think he does that.
I think he starts.
Yeah,
I do. I agree with that. And I do think that the Thunder do something with Kendrick Perkins at that point, whether it be amnesty, whether, and I still don't think they amnesty him. I do think that they try to unload his contract onto the Jazz or onto the Sixers, one of these teams that's, you know, well below the salary threshold where they can just absorb his contract. Maybe we give them a pick, or we give them, you know, Tibor Pleiss and say, thanks a lot, see you later, you know. But anyways, Pau Gasol will start, and he will be great. He will help facilitate the offense. He's one of the best passing big men in NBA history. And if the Thunder, I think that they come up with some new sets if Pau Gasol is on the team. I think they have to, because, I mean, a lot of their sets are kind of geared toward these centers that really aren't going to do a whole lot. But one thing the Thunder like to do is they like to run their center up to about 18 feet and have him facilitate the offense from the top of the key right there. And usually that's when nobody guards our guys. Like, Perk is left alone to be tempted to shoot that shot. And Steven Adams is out there, you know, all by himself, and nobody guards him. And actually, there was I just remember one time in the Clippers series that happened, and they left him all alone, and they left the lane wide open, and he, you know, dribbled the ball in for that dunk. That's the only time that I've seen that, you know, the center out there being a fruitful thing. And I know that it's not intended to be like an offensive move for the center, but if Pau Gasol is out there at 18 feet and you, nobody's guarding him, he's going to shoot that shot and he's going to make it.
Yeah.
It's almost like Pau being on the team might provide more spacing than a shooter on our team, you know, because Serge Ibaka is already spacing the floor. Pau's going to space the floor to 18. If the lane is really there, Pau can take it, or he's the best passing big in the game. You know, him, Joakim Noah. But that might space the floor just as much as anything. And Mitch Begay. Put Serge Ibaka, Durant, Pau Gasol, Mitch McGarry, Nick Collison out there. You kidding me? Game over.
I do think that Pau, that they would throw the ball into him at least, you know, 3-4 times a game in the post too.
You kidding me? You must be in 34 times.
I think it would be awesome. I think it would be absolutely fantastic.
If we honestly added Pau Gasol, we would be nasty. We would just be nasty.
They'd be the best offensive team in the league.
Yeah. And I just don't see why. So, okay. Do you think right now, if LeBron goes to either Cleveland or – it doesn't look like LeBron's going to the Lakers.
No, he's not.
And it doesn't look – well, I don't think Carmelo goes to the Lakers.
I don't think so either.
So those are both like two of the things that are kind of – we're waiting to see what happens in regards to Pau.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know why we're a long shot now when I think both those things are going to happen. Like, it was reported that we're a long shot.
Well, let me bring up a question from Andy Worcester. Mello going to the Bulls is the best case scenario for us landing Powell, right? Yes. There it is. Because I think the leader right now is the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Carmelo goes there, because if they do get Carmelo, I don't think that they don't need Powell at that point, if they can still keep Taj Gibson. And I think that in most scenarios that Carmelo Anthony goes to the Chicago Bulls, Pau Gasol ends up on Oklahoma City. So if he ends up in New York, there's a chance that Pau could either go to Chicago or even go to New York. If Melo does sign with L.A., you know, I think Pau's staying in L.A. So we really, just like Andy said, we really need to kind of cross our fingers that he ends up in Chicago, in which there are reports coming out that he is considering that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, but I think that if the Thunder got Pau Gasol, I think that it doesn't matter what anybody else in the West does. That you have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, Reggie Jackson, and Pau Gasol on the floor. What do you do?
I you just enjoy basketball and enjoy watching what happens.
I know.
I mean,
it would be so great. So I'm hoping that happens. I don't know. No one really knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, with LeBron, with Melo, I mean, nobody knows. And everybody's waiting for those two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it kind of comes down to, is that we need those two guys to make their decision before anything else can happen. And we're all, our culture is so completely obsessed with this and is, you know, on Twitter all the time and making up all these memes. I mean, everybody's kind of driving themselves crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's okay if you find out like 5 minutes later after it gets retweeted 1,000 times or 500,000 times.
It's not, because that means people have celebrated before I can celebrate with them over texting.
I have tried to stay off Twitter and I just have the notifications on my phone, because I have notifications from Woj and Mark Stein, and because they're gonna, even if they don't break the story, they're gonna, you know, tweet something out about it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Right.
That way you're not like driving yourself crazy on your phone all day, just refreshing. I mean, I don't know. I think it's, you know, people are upset because of the amount of time that it's taking for them to make a decision. It's really not taking that much time. I mean, they're making like a really big life decision, and Bill Simmons talked about this, that like it's really not that big a deal. Everyone has just been wanting it to happen since July 1st.
Yeah.
And whenever you're sitting on your phone, you know, for 11 days, I guess that does, you know, seem like a really long time. But
here's the thing. It's a selfish decision to take that long, because millions of people are wasting their lives on their phone waiting for you. Just make a decision and let people live their lives. Please. I'm begging you personally. Just say you're going to Cleveland. I can be happy. I can move on with my life.
I do love the super sleuthing that's going on, trying to figure out what LeBron's going to do.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, oh, but this person Instagrammed this. Oh, but this person.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's moving his cars.
Oh, like the HTML coding on his website. This color scheme. I love it.
And Chris Sheridan is like so positive that he's going to the Cavs.
Dude, he's crazy about it.
Did you hear him on Colin Cowherd yesterday?
No.
He went on Colin Cowherd and he, you know, reiterated that this is what's going to happen, that his source has told him. I guess his source a few days ago was like, I'm 75% he's going to Cleveland. Then a day later, I'm 90% he's going to Cleveland. And then he's like, I'm 100%, you know, LeBron is going back. Like, that's what he's going to do. He has unfinished business in Cleveland, and he is going back to get them a championship that they haven't had since, like, 1964 or something like that. So Sheridan's really adamant about it. I don't know if that's a guy that you should trust or not. I'm I fell for his stuff over and over again during the lockout, because he was like, "Oh, the lockout is not going to affect the season at all. They're gonna get this settled." And I was like really excited about that, and then it didn't happen. And he kept calling it over and over again and kept failing. But he did call things like the Carmelo Anthony getting dealt to the Knicks, way back. But who knows?
Let's make predictions about these. So like LeBron, and then what happens to Bosch, and then what, and then Melo, and then what happens to Powell. Let's just go through and make those predictions.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think you're making them. LeBron goes to the Cavs.
Okay.
I think Bosch goes to Houston.
I think in that case that Bosch goes to Houston, Wade stays in Miami, and
sad.
Very sad. He's lost all his friends.
Oh, so sad, and he's not going to win anymore.
And he's not going to get paid as much.
I think he will. No. I think he'll get paid the 2 years, $42 million. I think they'll give that to him.
Oh,
or 44, geez. Or whatever it is.
As say, a what? A thank you?
And like say, sorry.
Sorry.
Oops. Shouldn't have.
Sorry, here's $44 million. Sorry. God, I wish I got sorries like that.
Yeah. I mean,
even a sorry grilled cheese sandwich would be like, that's badass. But like, I don't get any, I just get a sorry, you know? And it's like, I'm just expected to forgive them. I don't know. Whatever, man. Let's move on.
And then Melo, it's between Chicago and New York in my head. And I just am hoping that he chooses winning over money and he goes to Chicago. Because that Chicago team would be so good.
They would be easily the best in the East, easily, maybe the best in the West. If Bosch goes to Houston and Powell goes to Oklahoma City, those three teams, and Spurs, I guess, you have to throw Spurs in there. So those are the four teams right there that are like, yeah, they all might be the best team in the league.
And then if the Cavs deal for Kevin Love.
Oh, shoot. LeBron, Kevin Love, Kyrie. Oh, my gosh. I'm about to faint.
It would be crazy. But it's
about to faint outside on the street.
Very possible. The Cavs have the Heat's first round pick next year.
Do they really?
Yep.
Wow.
And that's gonna
holy crap.
That's going to be good because they're going to be terrible.
Yeah.
If they get LeBron from the Heat and they get their first round pick.
isn't that funny?
That's
oh my gosh. That's not even fair for Dan Gilbert because he's such a terrible person. Like, that shouldn't happen to someone like that.
Yeah. And I think that gets dealt for Kevin Love at that point.
And they still win.
And they've got to trade Wiggins for Kevin Love. You can't. I mean, who are they? Oh. They're not going to take that, the garbage from Cleveland. Anthony Bennett, Tristan Thompson, Deion Waiters. Like, no way.
I guess I would do that, huh? If you have guaranteed LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, yeah, I'd trade Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would reluctantly trade Wiggins.
LeBron and Kevin Love still have easily 6 years left.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the best option for your team to be good next year, without a doubt.
And for 6 years. You don't know if Wiggins is going to be Kevin Love's status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least you know Kevin Love. He's that good. And if you put him with LeBron and Kyrie.
He could be better.
Could be.
But who knows? Okay. Let's do one more question, then we'll do a game. Two more questions. One from Jake the Snake. What is the one name that you hear in talks with the Thunder that you don't want?
I don't even know.
Caron Butler is probably that guy for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's that name you're like, oh. Like, if you heard Tapa Sefolosha coming back, you'd be like, oh, please don't.
Right. Right.
So I think it's really any guy that's coming back. I think that people are kind of willing to embrace anybody different at this point.
Yeah.
To the point that people are, like, freaking out if we don't get Anthony Morrow.
Yeah. Which isn't that funny that, like, how quickly we changed our opinion of Caron Butler? Like, he wasn't even on our team for a full year. He was on our team for like 4 months.
Yeah, it was. It changed quickly.
Changed very quickly. And Anthony Morrow, it could end up being the same thing.
If you
know,
the,
like
when you hit the side of the backboard as many times as Caron Butler did, I think that that changed people's opinion quick.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Matt Judkins asks, is Chris Bosh contractually obligated to defer to LeBron even in free agency? It's funny because everyone's waiting on LeBron.
Yeah.
So it's
Did you just explain his joke?
But does he have to wait on him? Everybody wants him. Everybody's saying like, just go sign with Houston, and then you give LeBron one option. But if you get the chance to play with LeBron, you'd rather do that, I think.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Know, like who? So with the signings that the Heat have done so far, right? They have Danny Granger and McBob. Like, if you're Chris Bosh, which team is better? Yes, they have LeBron, but are you going to be better with Houston? And maybe not because you're in the West, but I don't know. You get more money for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe you still win as much. I don't know. That's a hard one. I'm kind of with Bosh waiting. I think I would wait if I were Bosh too.
I would wait. If you can sign with the Heat again and you're going to have those three again and you retool, I think that you're the best team in the East again.
Plus the fact that like it's a team that and coach and management that he knows and he's comfortable with and a relationship with LeBron that he and Wade that he's comfortable with and he knows works. And with the Houston thing, he doesn't know how he's going to play with those players, I think. And so I think for sure if he had the chance to be with Heat again, he'd do it.
Yeah. It's anywhere in the West. You could lose in the first round again.
Yeah.
So it's... I mean, they could get matched up with the Spurs in the first or second round. And then what happens?
You don't know.
You don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
You really don't know.
You don't know.
You guys have anything else to say?
Yeah, I also wouldn't put it past Bosh for him to literally be contractually obligated to wait for LeBron James.
That's a literal thing.
To like if that is actually in his contract. So I wouldn't be surprised.
So the answer is yes.
The answer is yes, however you want to look at his joke question.
Okay, I have a game.
Andrew, you fucked this game up for a while to me.
This game is called Don't Get Too Settled.
Now, nothing gets me more exciting than that.
Don't get too settled. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a player. You have to tell me how many teams they've played for in their career.
Oh, this is a good one.
And you can't go over. We're going Price is Right rules. If you go over, you don't get it.
Price is Right rules.
Okay, Luke, you go first every time.
Okay, keep your own score. Okay, here we go. Number one is Aaron Aflalo.
Taylor, I can't go first every time because you're going to uncut me every time.
I'm gonna go one every time.
I know. Okay. Aaron Aflalo.
Okay.
Aaron Aflalo.
Four.
I'm going to say two.
Luke, you went over. It's three.
Dang.
He played for Detroit, Denver, and Orlando.
Detroit.
Yep.
He was drafted by Detroit, huh?
He was. He was like a late round pick, too. Next one, Ray Allen.
Okay. Four.
Going to be five.
Well, you can't say going to be. Four. Four is right. Yeah, you played for Milwaukee, Seattle, Boston, Miami. Keep your own score, guys. You guys, it's tied.
Okay.
Taylor has two. Luke has one.
Because you went over, sucker.
Matt Barnes.
Oh, God.
Five.
I'm going to say three.
Get ready for this. He's played for eight different teams.
No.
So Luke gets that one.
Go through them. What?
Okay. He played for... He was drafted by the Clippers, then played for Sacramento, the Knicks... The Sixers, the Warriors, the Suns, the Magic, the Lakers, and then back to the Clippers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But he wasn't good. I mean, I don't remember him playing on half of those teams.
I don't remember him playing until he got to Golden State.
That is insane. That's crazy.
He was on the We Believe team in Golden
State.
Was
he? But he did not. He was a bench warmer on that team?
Oh, no, he played.
No. He played on that team.
Yeah, he played a lot.
Yeah. Okay. That was a skater. That was a skater that you just heard.
I could hear it. Big time. Okay, next, Steve Blake.
Oh, geez.
4.
7.
7 is right. So it's 2-3, Taylor. He played for Washington, Portland, Milwaukee, Denver, Portland again, the Clippers, the Lakers, and Golden State.
I think I just saw something when I was reading about him agreeing with Portland that it was his 7th team or something like that. So sorry, Luke.
Third time to be back in Portland. Next
one. Oh, it's third time. Wow.
Next one, Andrew Bogut.
Luke, you can go.
I'm going to go 6.
Okay. I'm definitely going 2. I'm pretty sure that's the right answer anyway.
It's 2. It's Milwaukee and Golden State.
Swinging for the fences.
4-2, Taylor. Next one. Jan Mahimi.
Jan Mahimi?
Jan Mahimi.
3.
I'm going 4.
It's 3.
Dang.
Do you know who the Mavericks first team he played for was?
No, all I know is Mavericks Pacers, but I know he came to the Mavericks, so I don't know who the first team was.
San Antonio Spurs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one. Josh McBoberts.
Josh
McBob.
Okay. Did I go first last time, or are you, Luke?
I went first last time.
Okay, I'm going to go 4.
I'm going to go 3.
It's 6.
Oh, God.
Oh. Okay, I got Pacers, Lakers, Bobcats, Heat.
He was drafted by Portland.
Okay.
And then went to Indiana for a while. Played for the Lakers for a season. Played for Orlando. Yeah. Played for Charlotte. And then
Orlando.
Miami. Yep.
He was on the Lakers, too, though.
Yeah, I said it. I said Lakers after
Indiana.
Oh,
okay.
Yep.
My bad.
So Taylor's up 5-2. This next one is worth 5.
Yes. Oh, Luke always wins these. It's not even fair.
And you have to tell me, in order to get the point, who drafted this player.
Okay.
So if you win it, you have to tell me who drafted him. Steve Nash.
Oh, no. Oh.
First, how many teams?
Okay. 3 teams.
Okay.
I'm going to go 4 teams.
Okay. Luke, you went over. It is 3 teams. Now, Taylor, you have to tell me who drafted him. Even
oh,
no.
Because I know he started his career with Dallas, but I think he was traded to Dallas, wasn't he? He was drafted by Phoenix, traded to Dallas.
Bingo. Ding, ding,
yes.
Ding, ding.
Yes.
Taylor, you win. Don't get too settled.
I'm not going to get too settled in that win. I'm going to stay humble. I appreciate that win. It's going to mean a lot to me, but, you know, I'm not going to sit in it.
Yeah, he played for, like, Jason Kidd and Kevin Johnson and Steve Nash were all on the same team.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, 3 of the best point guards ever all on the same team.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Anything else? Anything else for this edition of the podcast? I mean, Mitch McGarry was really awesome in Summer League. I really don't want to talk about Summer League that much because it's Summer League, and I don't think there's a lot you should take away from it. Mitch McGarry is super skilled. He's very good. Josh Eustace is not very good. Good defender, but that's really about it. So I don't know.
The OSU guys looked pretty good. Markel Brown had a nice showing the other day. And Marcus Smart has been shooting, you know, badly, but he's been okay. He's been good. People, so can I tell you guys something?
Yes.
All these drunk people keep walking by me and they get so confused that I'm just talking by myself. And they'll like just stop in the middle of the street and just stare at me. And I have to turn around. This happened like 5 times.
Are you like performing?
So that's happening. Yeah, well, I'm doing like jumping jacks to stay warm while I'm on this podcast. So. Oh, good. And I'm naked. And I'm naked. But I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Is it real cold there?
It's like probably like upper 40s right now, so it's not like freezing.
Man, that's cold.
But it's not comfortable. Yeah,
that's cold, man.
Andrew, do you want to give me and Taylor 30 seconds to talk about the challenge? Because I know
No, we need 2 minutes.
No, I'm giving you 35 seconds. That's as
Luke. Chip, he was going to give us 2 minutes.
He was never going to give us 2 minutes. You know that was way over.
No, it's, come
that's
on.
So what true. Okay, here we go. Hold on.
You're lucky we're getting 35.
You know what, Taylor? For that, 34 seconds.
No.
Just a second.
Go.
Damn it.
Taylor, it was awesome. What do you think?
I loved it. I actually liked that Johnny Bananas won. I didn't. If New Johnny won, I would have been so mad.
I would have liked if New Johnny would have won because I'm tired of Bananas winning all the time.
But, dude, he's a vet. He's a legend. Did you listen to him on BS Report the other day?
I did. It was a very good
interview. I thought it was hilarious. It was so good.
And I just think it sucks that CT got sent home the way he did. He deserved to be in the final.
Oh my gosh! If it okay, Zach was a P. You know what I'm talking about. Zach was a little B. He pooped the sheets for sure.
He
shipped the bed. He did.
But man, Laurel is a crazy.
Thanks She's for a listening tank. She, to the Down
She
to
finally
Dunk
won. She sucks. I wouldn't be her friend. I wouldn't be her friend in real life, but she finally won.
The trade exception expires at midnight tonight, so something interesting could happen. Maybe not. Summer League's over. The Thunder were really bad in Summer League because they had a bad point guard. Find us at downtodunk.com.
Also,
us at DTD Podcast. You can find us at welcometolivecity.com. Please follow us. Please engage in conversation with us. Let us know what you think about our free agent or non-free agent signings. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
Luke, I hope it's Battle of the X's too.
Oh, me too.
Me too, so bad.